Jersey is the world.
Hi, everybody. Chris Gethard here, and welcome to a new episode of New Jersey is the World, your weekly celebration of all things New Jersey. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to everybody who supports over at patreon.com/NewJerseyIsTheWorld. Thanks to everybody who's a part of the damn community, as they say. I saw somebody in the Patreon leave a comment. We put out the episode where Don Finelli revealed the inner workings of his mind, and I had accused him of being a madman, and someone put in there that they were a lifetime server and bartender, and they would absolutely give Don free stuff because he is describing the perfect customer. So, fuck you to me, I guess. He's not a madman at all. He's totally in tune with what's going on. Not much new to report. I'm announcing some tour dates this week. Might even be announcing them around when you're hearing this. It's going to be a big tour. Spoiler alert, I'm co-headlining with someone who I've long admired, Eddie Pepitone, and we're bringing a young New Jersey comic named Keegan Tindall on the road with us. It's going to be really great. And one of the shows is at Crossroads in Garwood. So just wanted to mention that down the line, it would be rad. This tour is important to me. Linking up with Eddie, I don't even know how to explain. If you don't know Eddie Pepitone, he's just truly delightful in a way that's hard to explain, hard to predict. I've been watching him since I started 24 years ago. He's amazing. And Keegan is just absolutely something really special. And I think is going to get bigger and bigger, and it's going to happen very quickly. And people are going to go, where did this guy come from? And we're all going to be able to say, he came from fucking New Jersey is where he came from. The point being, keep your eyes peeled for those ticket announcements over at chrisgeth.com, because Crossroads is a very special venue to me. This tour is going to be very special, and I want to sell that bad boy out. Anyway, what else do I have to tell you? This episode, I have to imagine, is going to charm a lot of people, and there's going to be someone who is a hero to many. We explain this in the episode, but I remember an email came in a while ago, and Mike D handles the inbox, and he's like, hey, somebody wants to intern for us. I don't think we need an intern, right? And we were all like, yeah, we're small potatoes. Like, we don't have enough things for an intern to do. And I didn't know that Mike then went behind the scenes and was in touch this whole time. He sprung it on us. You'll hear the timeline. Of course, the episode itself. I will say that on a broad level, what we're talking about is, what do people need to survive in a New Jersey survival kit? What's the knowledge? What's the items? What's the advice? Especially for outsiders visiting the state, which is a great topic. It's not a topic I came up with. It's not a topic anyone you're used to came up with. It's a topic that Heba came up with. And I have a feeling that Heba might all of a sudden become the breakout star of New Jersey is the World. Who knows? Enjoy, everybody. Hi, everybody. Chris Gethard here with a very unusual episode of New Jersey is the World. I'm going to throw you for some loops in a second, but first I'm going to introduce some people who, if you've been listening to the show, you certainly know who they are, like Nikki Bonaduce. Nikki, how are you holding up this week?
I'm doing fantastic so far. I can't complain. It's beautiful out. The weather's changing. Spring is upon us.
It really does change everyone's mood instantaneously. I was hanging out with Mike D on Saturday and it was ice cold, and now I'm walking around in a t-shirt with no jacket. Mike D, me and you stopped by the old Cherry Blossom Festival in your old stomping grounds in Newark, and it was really fun.
It was great. I mean, the weather was pretty awful for a Cherry Blossom Festival, but it was cool. Obviously, cherry blossoms, tons of food vendors, bouncy houses, all that stuff. And then we lucked out and walked over to Sacred Heart Cathedral, and it was open. And we were able to just sort of like walk in and check everything out, which was cool. That's a great building.
It was open. It was beautiful. I have not been in there in decades. It was cool to bring Cal there, even though we're probably opening up a lot of questions about religion and Catholicism, but we're going to have those conversations someday. And then not only did we get to check out the building, Mike T, but as we exited, a gigantic party bus rolled up. And what, and listen, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but you tell me if I'm wrong. A very Goomba wedding unloaded from that party bus as we were leaving.
Yeah, I mean, maximum on a Goomba scale of 0 to 10, a 10 Goomba's wedding. I mean, it was beautiful.
They broke the goddamn thermometer.
It was amazing. I mean, there must have been 35 people in the bridal party. I mean, everyone impeccably dressed when they came out.
Nice. Everybody tan. Yep. Everybody tan.
Well groomed.
Spray tan. Well groomed. The bridesmaids' dresses also were built in a way where all of the bridesmaids had one breast covered in a way that I would describe as structurally sound in the dress, and the other dress not, the other side not structurally sound, where I was like, you can't have this many bridesmaids and this risky a dress. You're asking for wardrobe malfunctions here. But I kept my mouth shut because, you know what, it's a happy day and I just want everybody. I'm not trying to be some chooch ruining the wedding.
It's high social status to get married there too. I mean, that's
what I said. You can't.
You're into the cathedral. You got a spot there. You're hot shit.
I also got some juice.
I was left wondering. I was like, I wonder if you can even go and rent it, or if you need to kind of know somebody, I'm sure, and be invited to have your wedding there.
You probably just have to request. Like, you probably have to go through the archdiocese. You know.
Yeah, but a priest probably has to.
That's usually how it works. It's like when you go to a regular church and like you book your wedding, same thing.
Yeah, I bet those weekends though, they don't have many up for grabs, and I bet those are highly competitive.
Yeah, oh yeah. They 5 years ago was booked.
It was a good time. Here's how cold it was though, was they had bouncy houses and the lines were really long. And Cal, who's about to, he turns 5 tomorrow. He'll be a 5-year-old boy tomorrow. He was like, "Daddy, they got bouncy houses." I was like, "Cal, those lines are really long." And he was like, "Yeah, it's too cold for that." A 5-year-old. So listen, it was a great festival. Joe D, we know you're an avid listener. Next year, we need at least one or two more bouncy houses to dissuade those lines from being so long. So please, let's get on it. Although we also did stop by the Cherry Blossom Welcome Center, which was very cool, and had a picture, two pictures up on the wall. One of the member of the Bamberger family who originally planted all the cherry trees in Branch Brook Park. The other picture was, of course, my man, Joe D. My man, Joe D. I want to, before we even get into this, say that I am currently on call serving for a volunteer first aid squad in Morris County, New Jersey. I'm working a double shift, so I've been doing it since 7 a.m. Have had no calls thus far. Knock on wood, we get through the taping, because this is a special taping. A few months back, we received an email. Mike D is generally the guy who keeps his eye on the email box, but I remember when this email came in, it was from a listener who, if I remember right, said she wanted to help, maybe even intern. And we, Mike D, you kind of took the ball, and we didn't even know that you've been having a whole dialogue. And what has been explained to me tonight was that you very accurately explained, we are a small operation. There's no need for interns. While that's a very nice thought, we do appreciate the help. Apparently what is happening tonight is you basically said, if you want to know the process of how we make the show, why don't we just build a show together? So you've been working, and you really only told Nick and Carson and I maybe 7 minutes ago what was happening. You've been working kind of off the grid with a listener named Heba to build an episode. So this is an episode that you did not outline. I did not outline. Nick, no offense, you certainly did not outline the episode.
You guys don't let me do that stuff. It's okay.
Yeah, we don't let you. We don't let you. I don't want you lifted a finger, Nick. You work hard enough on the bridges and the railways.
You work hard enough.
But that being said, I want to welcome Heba to the show. Heba, how are you?
I am okay. I am a little bit out of sorts because I was not expecting things to turn out the way they did. Again, I was expecting to do like pretty minimal stuff, like maybe post something to social, maybe respond to some emails, help out on the back end a little bit. And instead, Mike D was like, why don't you pitch some episodes? So I sent a very thorough document with a lot of pitches. He chose the first one, not the ones that I spent the rest of my 2 hours thinking up. And then I wrote up an outline. I went into a couple of rabbit holes that I wasn't expecting, learned a lot about New Jersey, as I always do with this podcast. And I was also made to believe that everybody was excited about this, not that they were informed 7 minutes ago. So now I'm very nervous.
Well, we were told, I'm nervous too.
Don't worry. I'm nervous for you.
I'll say earlier in the week, Mike D was like, this week's episode, I got it. It's going to be fun. It'll be exciting. It involves someone who listens to the show in a way you won't expect. And then Mike T, 7 minutes ago, what he broke down was that you've been secretly building outlines for the show. I also have to say, you are working under the wing of the correct person. Mike's episodes, anyone who listens knows you can identify a Mike episode because it's well-researched. There's often visual aids that we have to go through in the documents. I've never spent 2 hours putting together an episode of New Jersey is the World. I'm much more the ones that are like, all right, everybody has to name one town in each county and whoever doesn't do it gets slapped in the fucking face. Like, those ones are all mine. This will be some fun, dumb thing. So you're definitely working with the person who actually puts in the most actual thought and structure. So well done. I have not looked at your outline. Only you and Mike know about it. Is there anything I need to know? Will I be leading the charge? Mike, is that you? Heba, will you
be you're leading the episode today? Or Heba has the option.
I will not be leading the charge. Nobody wants that. No.
Yeah, that's it.
We also know very little about you.
You got to go into the fire.
I won't reveal the town that you told us off the record. That's up to you how much you want to share about yourself. We don't know if you grew up in New Jersey, if you moved here at some point. We literally don't know your connection to the state. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that before we get into the episode?
Yeah, so I have... I've kind of been all over the state. I was born in South Jersey. So I'll say names. I was born in Atlantic City and I lived there for a couple of years before moving to Mays Landing. I spent a lot of time in Mays Landing, Port Public, like that area. And then I lived in Egypt for a year, which has nothing to do with New Jersey. And then I moved to New York, but spent my summers and my longer breaks in New Jersey with my best friend, also in South Jersey. Minnesota for college, and then I moved to Byram for a year and a half.
Byram,
and then I ended up in Essex County.
There you go.
So I've been.
What was that Byram year and a half like?
It was wild. So my mom is a free spirit. She's the opposite of me, who was disappointed to hear that this recording would happen after 8 p.m. because I'm usually asleep.
Wow.
My mom is just like, I'm with the wind. And so when she hit retirement age, she said that her dream was to like have a tiny house and just live everywhere. And the closest that she got was a trailer in Panther Lake in Byram.
Oh, okay. I know. Yeah.
And that is where we lived. And so when you guys talk about Wild West City, it's very exciting to me because it was like walking distance from where I lived for a year and a half.
I was going to say Byram is out there in that whole like Netcong, Stanhope, Byram smashing together of these small towns. And I've always been pretty fascinated by it.
Yeah, it's a weird space. It's like 40 minutes and a world away from Essex County.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're lucky to have you here and we're lucky to check out this episode. I will happily lead the charge based on whatever's in the outline, but I'm going to lean on you as the person who constructed it as my chief co-host tonight. And I'm going to throw you the ball if there's ever moments where I need clarification or further understanding. Oh, the New Jersey Survival Kit. That's a great idea. Okay,
excellent.
Thank you.
See, that's it's an awesome idea.
It's an incredible idea. Well done.
We're off to a rocketing start.
And to be fair, Heba did all the work on this. I just basically very briefly explained how I put an outline together, but this is all Heba's idea and work.
Excellent.
So first thing that's written out is an intro. I'll read it verbatim. Maybe it's just someone driving through on a road trip from a state or two away. Maybe it's a World Cup fanatic that has never set foot in America, let alone New Jersey. Question's the same. What does a person need in order to survive in New Jersey? What do they need to thrive? Or really, does anyone thrive in New Jersey? I think the answer to some people thrive, but I do love that setup. There are many people who are actively striving. I don't know how many active thrivers we have. A lot of exhausted people. What a great idea. The New Jersey Survival Kit, we're going to build it here today. List the items, list the knowledge, list everything that one might need to know to survive in Jersey. I love this idea. How about the first thing you've listed is vocabulary, which I think is awesome. I think that that's a really smart place to go because we do have some unique stuff. For example, anybody who's driving through here, you point out right here in the outline, you need to know what jug handles are. So if you're a New Jersey outsider, Nikki Bonaduce, I know you love a good jug handle.
Yeah, I'm anti-jug handle, but I go through lots of them, like everybody else in the state.
What makes a good jug handle? What makes a bad jug handle to you?
To me, easy to maneuver. And I don't know, when you're coming out of the jug handle, you want to be able to go directly into your lane of travel that you want to go into. But a lot of times there's like a side street merging into the jug handle. So then it creates more of a backup on the jug handle. So placing a jug handle in the wrong area, like with a bad merger cross street, can create havoc. So if it's a separated lane jug handle with two lanes going into the moving traffic, like separately, that's a good jug handle. Is that too much detail? I'm sorry.
Perfect. I know. I love it. I love it. That's why we go to you first on it. Heba, your definition of a jug handle and what people should know about them when coming from the outside.
See, now I'm self-conscious because Bonaduce said his explanation was too much information. And this was one of the deepest rabbit holes that I went through. The DOT did a study on jug handles versus normal intersections. It is the driest hour of my life that I've ever spent. Even just the write-up is just like straight black text on white background. Gosh. It's so dense. And I learned that there are three types of jug handle: a forward ramp, a U-turn ramp, and a reverse ramp. And apparently each of those has a different percentage of efficiency improvement depending on like traffic conditions. The general consensus was that there's not much of a difference if it's unsaturated traffic, but in saturated traffic, there can be up to a 40% difference.
There you go.
If anyone wants more information, I do have the link saved, but I wrote in my notes on that link.
Holy shit, you worked hard on this. Why did you work so hard on this? Have you heard our show?
Do you have a real job? Do you have a real job?
I studied.
Half the episodes is me just going, all right.
We have to pay you for this.
Half the episodes are just me going, all right, a random number generator told us Abseekin. Who knows something about Abseekin?
And then we make stuff up and people write in and yell at us because we made up the wrong stuff about where they're from.
Although we did do one town twice and nobody noticed.
That's the best.
We did do one town twice. So yeah, you worked really hard on this. Thank you for that.
It was unintentional, I promise you. I have written in my notes, please don't make me read more about jug handles. This is notes just for me. I wrote to myself, don't make me read more about jug handles.
I'm glad we started with that. I'll say on my end, some of these jug handles, I feel like they go out real wide. And you got to drive real far to get around them. And my guess is that those ones are actually probably safer and more efficient in some way. But I don't like those. I like a nice tight jug handle. I like a jug handle where you feel like you're at that RPM raceway out in Jersey City.
But the bigger jug handle relieves like more of the saturated traffic.
I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure it's better in every way, but I just personally find it annoying. I feel like, you know, the whole thing about a jug handle is you feel insane because you feel like you're driving further to just make a left turn. So when it's big and wide, I feel like I'm wasting more time on the jug handle, even though, yes, I do understand how all that space probably is nothing but a positive in traffic.
Or there was just some sort of obstruction in the way and they had to make it go that way. Like maybe there was a giant Glen Rock in the way or something and they had to go around it.
Well, and a jug handle also, right? These are the ones where we would all agree. You drive past a light and then loop back around to the light, right? That's different than a turnoff.
Or it could be like she said, it could also be a turning jug handle. So if you can't make a left at the light, you have to go through the jug handle to do that. You know what I mean? Like you go through the intersection, come back to make the left because they don't allow turns at the intersection.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But my point is
sometimes it's all turns.
Like when I'm driving on Route 10 East and I go by the Chuck E. Cheese in the movie theater there, that I'm just turning before the light and then making a left. That's not totally a jug handle, right? That's more of a turn off.
I'm sure that's considered.
I think that's a forward ramp jug handle.
There you go.
It's a forward ramp.
Are there pictures of that, Heba?
Heba, you're bringing the fucking fastballs. You're throwing fastballs.
She has diagrams. There's diagrams.
That's a forward jug handle? Because I like that jug handle. That's my favorite jug handle, that one by the Chuck E. Cheese, because if you don't know how to drive, you might get run off the goddamn road. And I think that that...
And if you're not in the right-hand lane when you're going through, you could get screwed and miss that, and then nobody's going to let you into the jug handle turn.
It's also...
Well, that's one of the vocab words I have, is the Jersey Slide, to get you across the road.
Now, the Jersey Slide is, of course, the thing where someone realizes they're about to miss an exit and goes from the left lane to the exit, crossing all the lanes of traffic.
Exactly.
There is a weird thing with the Jersey Slide, though, which is I've actually read articles about people going, when was the phrase Jersey Slide introduced and popularized? Because we all kind of know what it is, but there's articles about how this is not a decades-old thing. I remember hearing it in that Titus Andronicus song and being vaguely aware of it. And then when I found out what he meant by it, I was like, oh yeah, of course, I knew that. And it was kind of vaguely in the ether. But this is not a thing that's been around since our parents' time. This is a relatively new phrase, the Jersey Slide.
This is the first time I've ever heard it.
Yeah, I've never
heard it until you just said it.
I just called it cutting people off. That's usually. Yeah.
You know exactly what it is, though. You can see it in your mind.
I can.
You're doing the three-lane changeover. You're doing the jerk-off fucking three-lane changeover.
Yep, and then every once in a while, you got to do it, and you're like, sorry.
I had somebody do it on the fucking parkway because like there was this accident on the fucking turnpike today, and somebody did it like right after the fucking toll booth and like almost took out everybody getting out of the fucking turnpike. It was motherfucker. That was a dangerous Jersey Slide. I don't like that term though.
I love that we have differentiation between jug handles. Heba, do you have any jug handles you particularly enjoy? You're also down there in that area of Essex County where you got to deal with Route 3. You know what? I think because traffic circles and jug handles are related. Obviously, I got to say this. I'll say it one time because I know we've talked about it on the show. This new bullshit where they built that traffic circle on Valley Road right by where it merges with 46, it's taken them 20 goddamn years and they did not do a good job.
No.
It's really confusing. It's a really, really confusing, hard to navigate circle.
Yes.
And I got no problems with the circle. I grew up with the Livingston circle. I grew up with a very prominent circle in my life.
It's not properly signed. That's the thing. You can't really understand where you're going when you go in there. Like, you have to do it by trial and error. Like, that's kind of the only way to navigate there.
They also, I honestly don't understand. If I remember right, it used to be that when you're going east on 46, you go right to get on 3, left to stay on 46. And I believe they have now somehow flip-flopped that. And I don't even understand how they did that. And it's also not better in any discernible way.
I think it's probably because they widened the road over there, right? Is that part of the...
Somehow, you now go to the right to get on...
It's backwards, because it ramps you around, right?
Yeah. But it's not better.
I haven't approached it from Valley. I have not, like, gone into that hellhole.
It's nonsense. I've only been there on is the a Greek church side. Right there, right? Isn't there a big Greek church right there?
Yeah, what's it... It's a Clifton church. The hell's name? I can't remember.
Yeah, that big Clifton Greek Orthodox church. Yeah. Anyway, have a well done coming out of the gate strong with jug handles. I do love that you said right out of the gate, we're not even talking about Taylor Ham or pork roll. At this point, we're done.
Good. I added that in.
Oh, you did. Mike D, that was yours.
Yeah, some of the bullet points I added. But yes, because I just feel like I never want to hear that Taylor Ham pork roll debate again. It's just,
I think it's the lowest form of conversation in a deli. If somebody brings it up to somebody else who's ordering it, you should immediately be fucking pummeled to death where you stand in any deli.
I do it weekly.
You do. Yeah. You bring it up.
I bring it up because I work at a South Jersey.
That's no excuse.
Oh, you work at a restaurant.
I work at a restaurant.
You're a South Jersey person.
Yeah, I'm a transplant.
I've been yelled at where I'm like, you know, I call it pork roll because I lived in South Jersey so long. But like when I'm up north, I order Taylor Ham. I do it because people are fucking nasty and I'm afraid somebody's going to spit my fucking food because that's how vindictive people are about it.
Like, you drop pork roll and every time you do, I feel like you're selling out your roots, your West Orange roots.
Get the fuck out of here.
I do.
I'm bringing the state together because I was a former Taylor Hammer and I lived in pork roll country. Okay. And it's fucking pork roll.
You're also bringing this day together by exposing the political evils of one Vin Gopal.
You've also just titled your own autobiography that now you have to write.
Taylor Hammer.
A Taylor Hammer and pork roll country. That is the best name for an autobiography.
Dude, you, the fact that you just accidentally gave yourself the nickname the Taylor Hammer, the fact that no one in Jersey has claimed that before tonight.
That's it. So Mike D, copyright that for me.
Is mind blowing. Okay, let's move on because we've already discussed it more than Mike D wanted. This one I really like. You have listed asking for directions properly as one of the things people need to know. Explain how this one came up. Explain exactly what you mean.
I don't even know.
I get it. I think there's like if, well, listen, we're living in a GPS world, right? So directions are different than they used to be. But that being said, if you're someone who's asking for directions, and I've had to ask for directions many, many times in my travels all over the state, you need to be responsible about it. You need to be ready to take notes or memorize it on the spot. You can't ask twice. And if you're not from the state, one thing you need to know is it's going to appear like a jumble of numbers to you. No one's going to say Route 46, Route 280. They're going to say 80, 46. Take 22 to the Parkway, Parkway North to 3, 3 West to 80, 80 to 287. They will not slow down and tell you Garden State Parkway, State Road, blah, 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 Route 22. It will be fast. And if you're the one asking for directions, it's on you. You don't get to ask a second time.
They're going to say, go up to that big building that looks like a boat, stay in the left-hand lane, and make the turn before it, not after it.
There will be a lot of that. I think one of the main things that this relates to is, in general, if you are from outside of New Jersey, your perception might be that people here are a little rude. I'm not going to say you're incorrect on that. We've all run into it. What I will say is that even New Jersey people who want to help you generally want to do it pretty quickly. They don't want to have time wasted holding your hand through a thing. They'll give you everything you need, and then they expect you to take that ball and run with it and survive on your own. I think that's true, right, Mike D?
Yeah, I think that's true. But when I was just listening to it, I was like, wow, we're pretty ruthless here. We just need people to you know, make it or die. That's the only way. The numbers thing with the highway strikes me about directions, because if you don't know what all those things are, you're in big trouble, right? Nothing has a normal name here. There's no.
Let alone, I mean, the South Jersey stuff too. Once you get down to take the Pike, and that could mean the White Horse Pike or the Black Horse Pike, and it's interchangeable. That gets really tough really, really fast.
I think like the big thing for me when I drive here, which I try not to do because I hate driving, is just like the difference of time that it takes to get places depending on the time of day.
Oh yeah, like, it's huge.
One of my bosses, he had asked me to help him with a delivery. So we're in Essex County. I'm specifically in Bloomfield. He asked me to drop something off at Newark Airport. And he said it has to be there by 4:30. Come by around 4, pick it up, and then drop it by at 4:30. And I'm like, I get up really early. So I was like, do you mean AM? Which is a valid question because I'm awake at 4 AM. And he said, no, PM, just come by in the afternoon. And I'm like, in what world am I going to get from Bloomfield to any one specific place in Newark Airport in 30 minutes at 4 PM on a Thursday?
That's a crapshoot. If you get on Bloomfield exit and you take the Parkway South and you go that way, it can be hit or fucking miss. You might make it in 15 minutes. It could take you fucking 45 minutes, an hour.
I was banking on it taking me an hour to get from the first exit that I saw Newark Airport to whatever terminal he wanted me to get to.
Ugh.
I have to account for 5 wrong turns. Like, it was never going to be smooth sailing. And then I said, I can't do it at that time, I'm so sorry. And he said, no worries, I'll do it. And I asked him how it went the next day, and he went, you wouldn't believe the traffic. I'm like, I would believe it, though.
I would.
It's very believable that there was traffic at 4:30 p.m. on a Thursday to Newark Airport.
It's a treacherous stretch. I still get lost there every once in a blue moon, even though, you know, when I come back from the city, if I'm out late doing shows, it will very often send me down those roads. And it's like, wait, I have to turn down Frontage Road. What the hell is Frontage Road? Is that one of... There's exits that split into 3 little tributaries off the same exit. It's very tough. You've also pointed out people from the outside should know that while they say they stand in line, we very often say that we stand online, and no one in New Jersey understands or realizes that that's an unusual thing to say to most people. Most people hear the phrase online and they think about the internet and America Online. to the degree where I believe I once mentioned this on the show, and Nick and Mike, you both were like, wait, what? I believe it was on the show that you didn't realize other people don't use those interchangeably.
I had that was the first time I just thought that's how everyone said it in my entire life until you brought it up and pointed out the difference. And
actually, I had to think about it.
I still think we're correct because people will tell me, like Hallie will tell me,
get in line,
get in line. You're standing in the line and the humans form the line. And I go, no, these are human beings. They're not pieces of a line. The theory here is that if you painted a line on the ground, defining where people should be waiting, that we would be standing online. You'd be standing on that line.
Or get on the line.
Get on the line. Stand online. Stand in line. Stand online.
There's a line of people.
Because they all think, they're like, oh, you say online. That's like America Online. I'm like, well, you say in line. I think you're talking about rollerblading. Everybody's got, no, there's no fucking heroes here. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. Okay. Anyway, you now brought up topic two for the evening. Hot button issues outsiders should be aware of. First thing you list, proper driving speeds on highways and local roads. We've all got opinions on this. If you are an outsider to this state and you're here for the first time, I'm going to give you one simple piece of advice that will make your driving experience easier. Because it's not going to be easy, but it's this. Until you really get a sense that you have figured it out, don't even attempt to go in the left lane. Don't try it. Don't try it. You don't know what road you're on. You got to feel that out road by road. Going in the left lane on 287, it's a lot different than going on the left lane of 22. The parkway is different than the turnpike. Stay in the middle and the right until you figure all these things out. Because people will really, really scare the shit out of you with their behavior on some of these roads.
Yeah. Morning driving in Jersey, like if you happen to be passing through the state probably between the hours of 5 and like 9 o'clock, if you're in the left lane and you're not going minimum 85 miles an hour, you're causing a fucking standstill, okay? People are pissed the fuck off and somebody's been riding 2 inches off of your bumper, flashing you, and you will see hand gestures behind you the entire time.
Have opinions on highway etiquette. You're the one who put it in the outline, so I want to make sure you get to air out any thoughts and opinions you have.
My big thing was that the left lane is for passing. I get stressed when I drive all the time. I'm like one of those people that like gets personally offended if someone passes me really aggressively. So having been driving for many years at this point, having been living in New Jersey for many years at this point, out of courtesy to the people that want to go faster than 70 miles an hour, I just always stay in the middle or the right lane.
You have to.
It's a good policy. Good policy.
Here's another one that I don't think we've ever talked about on the show, which is this. If you're not from the state, you're going to be in a situation every once in a while where you might even be going a decent speed. You might be going 5 miles above the speed limit, maybe even 10 miles above the speed limit, and you will hear from behind you just, and something's coming. And they will pass you on the right. Nick, you can see the type of car I'm describing. You know it. It's going to be some tricked out car. It's going to have
Chachmobile.
It's going to have windows that are tinted more than the legal allowed. There's going to be maybe like some sort of airbrushed emblem of some racing team, some street team on it. Maybe, you know.
Spoiler. You need a spoiler.
It's going to be something like that. They'll pass you on the right. It will be scary as shit. It will scare you the first time it happens. It scares me still every time it happens. But here's my main piece of advice. And this is great advice for people not from the state, which is this. Don't freak out. Don't overreact. Stay the course. Maintain your exact speed. Because there's never just one of those fucking cars. There's always two. You let that second one come. They are in some sort of race or some sort of confrontation. It's either a race or road rage. If somebody passes you on the right going 110 miles an hour like a fucking asshole, they are a fucking asshole. Just chill for a second because there's going to be a second and maybe a third. So just chill before you overreact. Don't try to chase them. Don't fucking high beam them. Don't try to pull over to the right instantaneously. Chill out. let all the fucking psychos get it out of their system and be sure that they're all gone before you overreact. That's good advice about driving in New Jersey.
The more you know moment. Hell yeah.
That's truly good advice that nobody talks about. I love it. Other issues people need to be aware of.
Beach badges
is a great one.
Oh yeah.
This is a great one. It gets us mad too.
It's such a even beyond the mad part, it's such a foreign concept to people who are not from here because it's very confusing. So I've been places in the world where every beach is totally free. Fantastic. I've also been other places in the world where when you enter the beach, much like any other place, you pay a small fee and you walk on and that's it. The weird thing about the beach badge is you have to explain to a person like, look, you need to buy this badge and yeah, you can buy a day one or a week one and you clip it on your bathing suit or on your tote bag and somebody may or may not come around and check this and you can walk on the beach and you won't have one and there's nowhere to really buy one until this person, it just makes no sense.
Right. I mean,
it's the most, and every town has a different system of beach.
Yeah, they're all set up different.
If they catch you, there's a wide range of reactions to it. Like, the actual repercussions, there's a very wide, they might just tell you go buy one, they might publicly shame you, they might write you a ticket. No one knows exactly what happens when you get caught without the beach badge.
Yeah, they usually just make you buy one. That's a common one. But also, people have been escorted off the beach. What a weird concept. So if you come to visit New Jersey, make sure you also have a thorough understanding of the minutiae of beach badges.
When you get to the...
And then let us know, because we don't know.
Yeah. It's a lot of money. You go to the beach for a day, and you have like a family of four, and they're hitting you for like $12, $13 a head. Like, that's a lot of fucking money.
And you might...
That's money you would have spent, you know?
I'll also say this too, and it's just a fact. You might be tempted to research where are the free beaches, and there are a handful. But I will tell you, you're not getting the Jersey Shore experience in a full way at the free. Those aren't going to be places that have
Sandy Hook is free. Sandy Hook is free.
But you got to pay the big parking fee on the way in.
I just was up there this past weekend.
Oh, because it's not in season yet. They start charging you.
No, I know. I just went up there this weekend, but it was nice to go up there.
You want to get out to Vegas and feel the wind on you?
Yeah, well, you know, I got to get ready for our big volleyball match that we're going to have out at Gunnison.
That we do have to get to that. We have to do that.
And are we still joining the nudist colony out near you?
I told Hallie that you and I wanted to take a tour. She was like,
"Or you were threatened. You were threatened with divorce after that."
She's like, "If you like, if you go up there, Bonaduce, you're going to join a nudist colony."
Just for the summer, honey. It's just for the summer.
I just told her I wanted to go take a tour, check out Sky Farm, and she was like,
"I'll go. Let's go check it. I'll go with you." Seriously.
She's like. Because she, you know, she is, my family is a Bonaduce household. There's a lot of Bonaduce love in my house. And even Hallie, who's like a huge fan, is like, if you think for a fucking second you and Bonaduce are going to go just get around a bunch of naked people.
I'm probably the safest person to go there with.
Your behavior would be, to be fair to her, if you were rolling with me, it would be much different than if you were rolling solo.
Yeah. I would have even more confidence than I normally have.
With me right there?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. That's actually a huge insult when you think about it.
No, it makes me feel like more confident that you're there.
Yeah, because
I don't think you're helping yourself.
Just don't stand too close.
No, Nick, what it sounds like you're saying is like your body would be so repulsive and hideous that it would give me confidence.
No, I don't mean in that way.
That's what it said. But that's how you took it, right?
That's how I was interpreting it.
I knew that's not what you were going for. But
like, if I just stand next to Geth, by comparison, I will look like a Greek god.
I am a Greek god. No, I will not look like... I look like an old Greek god that's washed up. I'm an old, washed up Zorba. Okay, sorry.
Nick, how does it make you feel to know that Heba, who represents the literal voice of the listener on the show tonight, perceived it as not once but twice you saying, I am so physically unattractive, especially when naked, that you would want me as your wingman to make you look...
It wasn't meant to do that. I swear. I wasn't thinking that. I just would be like, okay, at least Chris is with me. I have a buddy. So like, you know, if I have to run and hide behind somebody, I got Chris there. I won't feel bad about it.
Now,
if I have any kind of...
As someone who's listened to the show over the years, how often would you say situations like this happen where you're not here to verify what the listeners are thinking, but where you go, yes, oftentimes these gentlemen get out of control and say things and they don't realize how they're coming off.
Oh God.
I mean, I how often do things get out of control, and how often do they say things and not realize are two very different questions.
Fair.
Out of control is 5 times an episode easily. Actually, 1 time an episode, but the control is never regained. So just 1 very long time.
A descent into chaos.
Yes, but one that is very entertaining.
Well, thank you for that.
We see how easily this can happen now by being part of it.
It's easy to get it's easy to descend into chaos when you throw nudity into the mix. The discussion of nudity is a pretty good.
Well, at some point we generally discuss either nudity or diarrhea, as you know. Those
come up. Being good. We haven't talked about that yet.
We're trying to be good. Now, another point that was listed here as far as what outsiders should know, hop on issues, public transportation in New Jersey. Schedules are a loose interpretation, just a very loose concept, as you put it in the outline. I love this one. Explain your experience, because you're out there on those Essex County train lines.
Well, my main, I'll say negative experience with public transportation is when I lived in Byram, there was a bus. I forget, honestly, the name of the bus that supposedly
DeCamp,
yes, that took you into New York City. And it always left on time and arrived 2 hours later than it was supposed to.
Oh, Jesus.
Just without fail, no matter what time I took it, somehow it was 2 hours later. And it would take me 3.5 hours to get from Byram to New York City. And it was a disaster every time, and I never learned.
And why don't you go ahead and remind the listeners, after a frustrating bus experience where there's traffic, unexpected delays, after you're already feeling burnt out, you now get to start your time at?
Well, I don't even remember where DeCamp.
Port Authority, right? They all go to Port Authority.
Go through the Lincoln Tunnel.
I blocked it out.
Port Authority.
The only good thing about Port Authority is that it's right next to the Carlos Bakery.
And that it has that statue of Ralph Cramden out front. That's pretty good.
And that one. Equally delicious.
I walked by Port Authority 4 times last week because I was in the city 2 nights to see a show. It is just so filthy. I mean, you literally have the gleaming New York Times building across the street, and then you look at this thing, and it is so just completely covered in soot. I mean, they don't even bother to power wash it like every 10 years.
Bonaduce and Geth on the beach together next to each other.
What did I do?
Nothing. Everything's fine.
Acting like you're going to shine like fucking...
No way. I don't know. I'm touching that.
Like I'm going to be Quasimodo out there on the nude beach as you're sitting there looking like fucking Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
Aww.
The New York Times building of the nude beach.
Oh, jeez.
Now, our next topic as far as the New Jersey Survival Kit, specifically for outsiders, what objects should people buy, bring, leave at home? Because there's a better version in New Jersey. I love that.
Yeah, that's hard.
What are the things you don't need to bring with you? One thing that was listed here, and I'm going to guess that this was a Mike D addition to the outline, is Mike D says you can leave your dancing shoes at home because Capizios were invented in New Jersey. Heaven, no offense, but that is a very Mike D
absolutely
influenced thing, I'm going to assume.
Cannot take credit for that one.
Really?
Why can we not be proud of Capizio?
I don't think I told you guys the story I learned about Capizios recently.
No, can I not?
I tell you guys about this?
I don't think so.
Definitely not.
I don't even know if I can say it on the show. I'll say it here, but Carson, let's clock the time code because we're going to have a discussion. And Heba, you're going to be a part of this discussion as the producer of this episode.
These are a lot of things we deal with.
Listening to history being made.
I was in a work situation where I had to fly, and it was a Screen Actors Guild job. And you get some perks. They have to fly you business class, and they have to get a car. You get a car from your house to the airport. It's fancy.
Nice.
So I get this car, and the driver somehow picks up on the fact that he's picking me up in this like shishi part of Morris County. But he's like, "You seem like a normal guy. Your house seems more normal than some of these other ones around here." Blah blah blah. And we get to talking, and it somehow comes out that my wife is a musician who's been in punk bands, and I used to go to punk shows and stuff. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I used to be a part of all that shit." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he told me, and I won't out him, but he was like, "Yeah, I was part of the proto punk scene, like Max's Kansas City shit, like before CBGBs.
Oh, wow.
He's like, and I was friends with all the guys from television, Richard Hell and all the Voidoids, all those fucking guys. Wow. It's like, that's fucking cool, man. And then he told me, I don't even know how this happened. He told me this insane story that he was this Jersey guy who used to go in and hang out with all those New York punks. And like I said, like those pre-punks. And someone who he kind of brought with him, who he claimed he sort of took under his wing, but who sort of was maybe just kind of like coming around, was a very rich kid who was the son of the founder of Capizio's.
Get out of here. That's
the Capizio family fortune. And he was hanging out legit with like bringing this kid around and hanging out with like Didi Ramon and Johnny Thunders and
oh my God,
all these fucking people. And the story I heard that I can't verify, and you can tell, like, I'm even hazy on what I was told, was some insane story that Johnny Thunders befriended this kid, and this kid came to worship, that the son of the Capizio fortune came to really, really idolize Johnny Thunders, and they would hang out all the time. But Johnny Thunders also was maybe sensing that this kid had money and was a bit of an easy mark.
Geez.
And that this somehow ended... I believe that family might be from Wayne, if I remember the story right. And that this somehow ended with Johnny Thunders and this kid, like Johnny Thunders leaving the East Village one night and traveling with this kid to Wayne and somehow trying to get money and it didn't work out. And the kid passed out on drugs and woke up. And Johnny Thunders had carved the name Johnny Thunders into all his New York Dolls records and never spoke to him again, but went on some kind of rampage in the home of the Capizio family fortune. And it's like Johnny Thunders went on sort of like a drug binge rampage, carving the word Johnny Thunders into all sorts of belongings.
Oh my God.
And that this family had this night where they kind of like locked the doors as Johnny Thunders rampaged through their suburban home. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I can't believe that I get to recount this choppy, half-remembered version here on the show tonight.
That's probably okay to put on the show.
I think so. I don't think so.
Was Johnny Thunders wearing Capizios at the time he went on this rampage?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Did he like try to like keep by him? Like, hey man, I'll get you guys all free Capizios.
The reason we knew he was on a rampage in the house, we couldn't see him, but we could just hear tap tap. His tap shoot was just going through the house.
We should all start researching. Was there a point at which Johnny Thunders was photographed wearing a bunch of Capizios? Because maybe he stole them from this house as the family locked the doors and let him run
the little known
roughshod.
The little known New York Times collection of underground punk rock.
Oh, but then I forget too. There was another aspect of the story, which was that at some point, I think the way it ended was the guy told me that Johnny Thunders eventually like sobered up enough to realize like, I have fucked up these people's home and they're clearly rich people. I'm going to get fucking arrested. So he just like ran out the door and no one knows how he got back to New York City. And the guy who I was talking with was like, that was kind of my end of associating with Johnny Thunders because I was in some hot water. But it does presuppose that at some point in the late 70s, like a very strung out and agitated, maybe going through withdrawals, Johnny Thunders went on some sort of rampage adventure throughout Wayne, New Jersey and found his way back to New York. So if there's anybody out there listening who's like, yeah, my cousin claims that he gave a ride to Johnny Thunders, we can start to put together these puzzle pieces.
There is an article about Max's Kansas City that does talk about Capizio.
There you go. So
you might have,
get out of here.
Yes.
There you go.
So you might have.
This kid was a part of it. I'm telling you.
That's so weird.
Classic tangent for you. Okay, so also, Candy, which one of you listed peanut chews?
Oh.
Not me.
I love peanut chews.
Are peanut chews a Jersey? Are they just ubiquitous in Jersey? Are they a Jersey product or are they a Philly product?
I thought they were.
They have heavy Wawa associations too.
I thought they were made in Jersey.
I'm gonna look that up right now. I mean, those are fantastic candy.
Because there's two.
I used to make when I worked at that soy lecithin plant. I used to have to drive down there, and that was one of my blowout situations between Gertrude Hawk and also seconds from. The Goldbergs place where they give you the giant, they would give you giant bags of broken candy bars.
They are made in Philly.
Eat them all the way back. Yeah.
They are made in Philly, but they're huge in Jersey.
I remember driving them. Oh, they're everywhere.
I didn't know that peanut chews weren't nationwide.
No, like that's a regional candy.
That never occurred to me that they were regional.
Yeah.
Well, they were like a ration first, right? That was the whole
never
gig behind them. They were.
Oh, was that, was, were they one of those candy?
They were a ration in like, in World War II, food was like.
Well, 1917 World War would be World War One. The company, I just looked it up. Company's been around since 1917. Also, you can leave your soda at home. We got Boylan's, motherfucker.
Oh, there you go. Good call.
Dude, Boylan's is one of the best lines.
I get the ginger ale once a week now.
Boylan's ginger ale is one of the most underrated sodas in the fucking world.
It's like the only, it's, I, after we did that drinking, like that Boylan's, like lose your fucking mind fest that one time, I've been drinking like Boylan's ginger ale like ever since.
Yeah, but what's your favorite flavor of Boylan's?
I've actually never heard that name until just this moment.
Out of here. Come on.
There's so much for you to experience.
I'm learning so much.
You're going to want to start with a black cherry. Black cherry is the entry point to the Boylan's conversation.
Black cherry is good.
It doesn't root beer. Taste like medicine. Are you sure?
No, it's so good.
I've been burned by black cherry.
Like Browns.
Try some different flavors. The birch beer and the black cherry are probably the two most popular flavors. Hmm. Root beer is very good. They also sometimes put out a bottled Shirley Temple, which is clearly for children, but I am not above it.
I liked it.
I would drink a Shirley Temple. Absolutely.
I make my own.
Their ginger ale is great. Their grape soda is great. Boylan's in general is fucking good, man. Patterson's Own. I think it's made in New York now, but it's a Patterson original product.
When we did that Boylan's taste test on the show, I felt completely ill afterwards. I had never drank that much soda in one sitting in my life.
Yeah, you guys aren't like soda people. I could have drank that shit all night.
Oh, I'm a soda person.
I'll drink soda. I mean, yeah, I mean, Mike's like good about that shit. I'll drink like, I had like Welch's grape soda the other day with two hot dogs. And I was like, why do I feel so terrible? I was like, like, because you did, I had fucking two hot dogs and Welch's grape soda. That's why.
I'm that way with hot sauce. I like drench everything in hot sauce. And then the next day I'm like, why does my stomach hurt?
I heard that happens if you eat too many long hots.
God damn it.
I skirted the colonoscopy.
A quick tangent. I saw my brother this weekend and he told me that he was feeling a little off his game. And guess why?
Oh no.
Because the night before he went out to Lunello's and he ate too many long hots.
These long hots are the scourge of North Jersey.
Well, you gotta know, man. If you eat those things and your stomach isn't like...
That's what people...
Listen, but if it's happening to Franny...
Burns you twice, baby.
I'm starting to wonder, has there been some weird pepper crops? Are there weird pepper crops the past year or two that we need to know about?
Don't eat the seeds. Number one, don't eat the seeds. Don't eat the seeds. Don't eat the seeds.
Well, you guys all just had like 1.5 long hots and left a big giant tray.
All you had to do was dip your bread in the oil that they were in, and it was screaming fucking hot.
I was doing that too.
It was so good.
Next thing you know...
Blowout city, baby.
Anesthesiologist telling me to count down from 10.
Why am I sweating at the basketball?
I told you guys what happened at the colonoscopy. Have I ever said it at the show?
Oh God.
You said it to me. I don't know that you said it on the show.
Did I tell you what happened, Nick?
No. I gotta hear this.
Heba, do you mind a little potty talk or no?
No, please.
I straight up.
We hadn't talked about diarrhea yet, so.
This is better than diarrhea, isn't it? This is medical.
Yeah,
this is one of the most
another PSA.
I'm a 43-year-old man. I'm a relatively successful guy. I'm a father. I've got my shit together in a lot of ways. I get the colonoscopy. They wake me up. The doctor comes in to talk to me. And he's like, I got to ask, did you do all the prep work that we asked?
Oh, no. How embarrassing.
I was like, yeah. He's like, you took all the stuff that we told you to take? I was like, yeah, right on time. I didn't mess around at all. Followed the instructions down to the letter. He looks up at me and he's like, well, I think part of the problem of why your stomach is feeling as bad as it is, he's like, I'll just be frank. There's a lot of poop stuck in there. A doctor said that to me.
It's the opposite of diarrhea then.
Oh my God. So you're like all impacted.
And then he gave me this medicine.
And then that's it.
I haven't even told Mike T about it because it'll be the never-ending joke. Have you ever heard of this medicine, Linzess? Has anybody heard of Linzess?
I've heard of it. I didn't know what it was for, though.
Mike T, look up Linzess right now.
Oh, is there a video that goes with it?
He's like, you're going to take this. It's going to make you feel like you have diarrhea. I'm like, what do you mean feel like I have diarrhea?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's okay. It's just going to give you, dude, you take it on an empty.
Like fire hose?
You
like,
take it on.
Well, yeah.
So it appears to be a medicine that causes you to have uncontrollable diarrhea.
And so that was that the alternative to like having an enema put in you or something?
I've been too scared to tell you guys. Heba, I'm so happy this is happening while you're here. I've been too scared to tell you guys. I take it a couple times a week when I'm feeling backed up. And I'm telling you.
A couple times a week? What are you fucking eating?
Dude.
Jesus Christ, man.
First of all, I'm eating this giant bag of marshmallows you brought to my goddamn house.
Go eat. Well, that's okay, but eat a salad every day or something instead. Don't have to fucking, Jesus Christ, have some prunes.
This Linzess experience is bad. I took it twice this week.
It's terrible.
It's really bad, but you feel like when I'm done, I'm like, all right, I feel like I can like stand up straight.
It's like having a religious experience, right?
I feel like I can walk with good posture again all of a sudden.
It's all the.
I'm a new man.
But it's crazy. Dude, if you Google Linzess, if you Google like Linzess, almost everything comes up that's like, hey, like all the feedback you see from people take it is like, you guys got to tell me, is there a smaller dosage? Like there's got to be a smaller dosage. There's got to be a version of this that's not this insane, because it's insane. It's insane.
It's made to be effective even in like micro dosing.
Dude, it's nuts. Anyway.
Can you put it in somebody else's drink and they wouldn't know it?
Oh, that's what we need to know. You'd ruin their fucking night. You would ruin somebody's fucking night. Because dude, you take
55% of reviewers reported a positive experience, while 28 reported negative.
Wow.
I don't know what happened to the other percentage of people.
They all died.
100%.
They all drowned.
They suffered serious trauma.
But I'm telling you, man, they tell you take it on an empty stomach. And I learned not even water. Because if you take even water with this shit, you get the fucking gurgle guts instantaneously, man.
Really?
You get the gurgle guts.
Like you just start hearing like everything moving.
Instantly. Like you drink and instantly it's just like
that's bad sign. Bad sign.
Not good, man.
Doesn't it dehydrate you though? I mean, is it like
yeah, have a walk me through. I love your ability to find data quickly.
Yeah.
You're a real data driven person here.
Yeah.
This like
now we get it.
I studied physics in college and people are like, what are you gonna do with that? Apparently I'm gonna look up statistics about diarrhea.
Really fast.
Coming in handy.
Little did you know.
But be honest, you asked if you could come intern for us, which you know presents some sort of long-term relationship. You have to be happy that this is, who knows, I won't say one and done because you've been very charming and I'd like to think you'd come back someday. But you have to be like, I'm glad I didn't get into some long-term relationship with these fucking goons.
I'm having a great time. Normally when I
talk about this is how it starts, Heba. This is how it starts.
Heba, you were saying.
Normally when I talk about poop, people are like, please don't do this. We're trying to eat or something like that. Like I normally make it very uncomfortable. It's
you mentioned you work
remarkably
in a restaurant, so that might be part of it.
I do. Yeah, I really need to
maintain some professionalism here. You work
here.
When people are ordering things, do you tell them to be careful because they might get diarrhea from eating that?
No, because we don't serve the sugar-free Haribo gummy bars.
You serve long hots? Have you ever served long hots?
We do serve long hots, but in a reasonable quantity, like maybe two long hots per dish.
There you go.
That's the right amount.
If that.
There you go.
And it's like tempered by other things, like, you know, roughage with fiber and stuff like that.
There you go.
Nice.
I probably ate 6 or 7 long hots that night.
That's too many long hots. That's coming.
You ate like the whole fucking You ate the whole plate.
You ate a full serving minus the one long hot Nick and I each ate. Otherwise, you ate a full family size serving of long hots.
I am judging you, and I currently have 17 bottles of hot sauce in my fridge.
You're literally wearing a hot sauce themed t-shirt.
Really?
I'm wearing a hot sauce t-shirt, yeah.
And you're judging
me.
That's fair.
I have 17 bottles, and 15 of them are Ghost Pepper hot sauces. And I would not eat 7 long hots.
Oof.
What?
Okay.
Ghost peppers, that's insane.
Let's give some quick advice, because we've gone off on some big tangents here. Advice for outsiders on a place that they're all going to encounter. I love that you included this, surviving Newark Airport. First thing I would put out there, if you land in Terminal A, congratulations, they did a good job on it. If you land in Terminal C, it'll be confusing and a little bit of a mess, but the infrastructure is there. It'll all make sense if you follow the signs. If you land in Terminal B, good luck. I've never met anyone who's ever actually stepped foot in Terminal B. Let me know what it's like. It remains a mystery.
You should also be prepared to be horribly mistreated by anyone who works at Newark Airport.
Yes.
I was just there. I flew in and out of Newark, a week ago? Again, and every time I go in there with a good attitude, and every time I'm just absolutely shocked at how awful and miserable and mean the people working there are. The security people are cruel and mean. Yes. I've seen them be cruel to children.
Absolutely. Like this.
Everyone who, anyone you try to ask a question to, they just blatantly ignore you. I have seen multiple Newark Airport employees in their uniforms openly watching pornography on their phones. Like, this is multiple times.
Whatever you got to do to get through the day.
Yeah, whatever gets you through the day at Newark Airport.
At least go into a bathroom stall or something, you know, like don't do it like open, like right on the concourse.
Our nation's security is in your hands. I'll also put this out here, though. Genuine advice that I've learned. If you're a person who likes Lyft and Uber, I get it. It takes a real long time at Newark Airport.
They changed it.
Well, I just want to put this out here. The actual taxi cabs, that stand is well run. And there's a person whose job it is. No, it is, Mike D. It is.
Or disagree.
There is a person whose job it is. They ask you where you're going, and they print out the price and give you a receipt. Yeah, you're not going to get ripped off. Like, it's a set price.
It is. It's a set price, but the price is outrageously more expensive. But there's a bigger problem because...
I mean, you might wind up in a cab that's straight up all yellow with like a white door that's clearly from a different bar.
I was driving in a cab home from Newark Airport, and there was this horrible, insanely loud, grinding metal noise coming from the back of the cab. So bad that the entire cab was shaking. And I said to the driver, "Hey, buddy, I think there's something wrong with the car." And he said, "Don't worry, my shocks blew out a while ago." The car had no shocks.
Which one is it? Don't worry, or my shocks blew out a while ago?
Welcome to New Jersey.
He was basically saying the reason for the shaking was that he had no shocks in the car.
Oh my God.
Nick, we were on the turnpike and the entire car was vibrating.
You're like fucking like dangerous letters. Jesus Christ. There's no oversight. There's no oversight.
I kind of love it. There's also those companies. I wish I knew more about the business model, because all those cabs are marked for Newark and Elizabeth.
Business model.
Well, no, here's the thing I don't get. Like, they go and drop
they're
me
all
off
held by price. Shell companies, so they can't be sued directly. That's how
but
all
Nick,
those cabs
here's
are.
Here's my question. It's not like those cars are picking up fares out in Morris County. They're not driving around until someone hails them. Like, the only business they have is to be rickety death traps that travel out.
No,
of
they're dispatched. There's dispatchers. They work for dispatchers.
Know, man.
If they're not
know.
At the airport, like, yeah, you have to jockey for those positions, man. You'll just like,
those cars are readily available. You will put your life on the line, but you're not going to get ripped off. They're not going to turn around and go, "You owe me $250. They're not going to do that.
No, but they will say, and also, every single time I do it, "Oh, my credit card machine is broken."
They do try to get you to pay with cash, yeah.
Well, that's great, except if you're traveling for work, it creates a giant pain in the ass because it's, you know.
Yeah, they're going to
fucking... It's also not the way of the world. Heba, your opinions on this?
But maybe this is an ignorant question, but is there a benefit to taking a cab over an Uber? Because I've never had an issue with Uber or Lyft.
Uber and Lyft did come in and just smoke taxis.
Out of Newark.
I find that Ubers and Lyfts take a very long time. And I one day was like, "Fuck it, I'll take a taxi." And just instantly got one when the wait for a Lyft was over half an hour. So ever since then, I've been like, all right, I'll do it. The other thing is, if you have to do offsite parking at Newark, you will have to take a tiny little bus to get to that offsite parking, and while you are driving on that tiny little bus, at minimum once and up to 3, 4, 5 times, you will think you're about to die. Those little buses are, I mean, they exist.
It's not like the worst cross streets, and having to go across 1 and 9 and
just flying onto Freeling Heisen Avenue. Yeah. Running reds on Freeling Heisen Avenue and fucking minibus. You're just like, Jesus.
It's okay. I could drive over the island here. It's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, other thoughts on surviving Newark Airport, Heba?
Bring either a lot of money or your own food. That's been my thing.
Good call. That's good advice.
Good call.
Yeah. I know that there are the standards like the McDonald's and everything like that, but you always like think, oh, I'm going to be on a plane. Like, I don't want to be heavy and greasy and whatever. So I'll get a salad. And then they give you the little, like, cups of salad at the newsstand.
$19.
Have, like, oh, it's just the worst. And then you're hungry and you get McDonald's anyway.
Yep. Yep. Or you wind up buying some little sad hummus box on the plane.
I bring my own food and I get the weirdest looks every time I go through TSA because I'll have, like, my backpack and then a personal bag, and one of those inevitably will be just be filled with food. And it, like, I see the look on the people's faces and they're like, you know that there's food in there, right? And I'm like, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's because outrageous,
I'll die a little bit if I have to pay $19 for a cup of lettuce.
You've also suggested we should give people advice on how to survive the Jersey Shore on Memorial Day. Oof. Which is great. Yeah. I mean,
don't go if you don't live down there.
Don't go if you don't have to.
Really, don't go if you don't have to. And if you do, go all in. If you're doing it, do it.
Yeah, do it. Commit.
If you're doing it, do it.
Leave early, though. That's the only, you have to leave it before 6 a.m.
And stay hydrated. For God's sake, stay hydrated, please, people.
Put on your sunblock.
What you don't want to do?
Have a beach bad strategy.
Yeah, have a... Remember,
have a, important, have a beach badge strategy.
What you don't want to do.
If you're in the water, they can't throw you out. So always run for the water when they're coming.
You don't want to wind up in traffic on the way back to North Jersey for 3 hours, completely dehydrated with sun poisoning. Like, you can't have all those factors. You got to take care of at least one of those.
You also have to learn how to very quickly recognize the sound of a beach umbrella that is flying through the air like a javelin and know to dodge that quickly.
You also have to understand
that is a real threat.
That it is your job to protect your food because the seagulls will come for it.
Yeah. And don't feed the seagulls, goddammit.
How about advice on surviving the World Cup as a New Jersey outsider? The world will be coming to New Jersey soon. Surviving the World Cup, I don't know what's going to happen.
I would say if you are traveling here for the World Cup, consider any interaction will probably be a scam of some kind. I think there's a pretty high chance that anything you do will involve a scam.
I'm going to set up a money changing booth right by the PATH station there.
Oh, no.
The one thing I'll say to outsiders is if you look at where Giants Stadium is or MetLife Stadium and you're looking for hotels that are close, just understand, like, you might get a close hotel. They'll probably have shuttles to the game and whatnot, but you should understand if you're staying at a hotel that's along Route 3, it's not going to be a place where you can walk to anything. If your hotel is in a strip mall, you will be able to eat at the other places in that strip mall. But this is not a place where you can go walk around and go, oh, just on the other side of the highway, it looks like there's a restaurant. You'll die. Don't do it.
And when you look at the Skivots heat map of New Jersey, probably like the most dense red clusters are like running along those like strips of motels. I mean, people should understand, like, oh, we got a great place. It's close to the stadium. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, like there's little. You know who else booked a room at that hotel? Every bed bug in New Jersey. You know what else is happening that weekend? They have a World Cup special, and also there's a prostitution bust, and maybe Hasidic men selling kidneys, which is not anti-Semitic. Look it up. There's actual history to this. There have been human organ rings run out of that area.
We should build a fake jug handle that doesn't attach to anything or go anywhere and charge tourists money to just drive through it, right?
What a good scam.
It should go directly to Bonaduce's money booth.
That's it. That's right.
Bonaduce's money booth. This has been a fantastic episode.
Yeah.
We should work this hard on all the episodes.
Yeah, we could go on forever.
My guess is this, is that every show, you know, Brady Bunch had Cousin Oliver. Seinfeld was the ensemble, and we all remember when Kramer really broke out. My prediction is that people are going to hear this episode and the New Jersey is the World fan base are going to react to Hebba in the same way that kids in the 70s reacted to the Fonz. Hebba, are you ready for the superstardom that is heading your way as you become a mysterious one-name cult figure?
It's the best.
I'm so ready for people to call me Heather and for me to have to accept that.
How often does that happen?
So often. There was one time I introduced myself to a customer And she spent like 20 minutes telling me, your name is so beautiful. I have, no. You know, I know yada, yada, yada with this name. I know the origins. I love it. And then after 20 minutes, she goes, well, it was nice to meet you, Heather. And I'm like, I got to move. I have to move. I can never see this woman again. Or I'll just change my name. Either way.
Everyone just thinks you have a severe cold, that you're a woman named Heather, who's just like, I'm Heba.
Yeah, or I don't know my own name. Like, for 2 months, my coworkers all called me Ava, which is like not even really that
weirder,
close.
Yeah.
Listen.
I don't know.
Our face is going to get it right. My prediction is you're going to start seeing fan art dedicated to you, even though none of these people know what you look like. There's going to be bootleg merchandise to focus directly on you. I just hope you're ready.
Keychains.
For the wave that's going to happen. I'm not even going to claim in the whole state. I think we're mostly popular, like from, I mean, not even Bergen anymore. We burned that bridge.
Yeah.
From like Hudson County to the northern stretch of Somerset. You're not even going to be able to leave the house.
I've been practicing my autograph under the table the whole time. I'm so ready.
I can't wait.
Wait, can I leave the listeners with one bonus thing that is advice, but not New Jersey centric?
I love this.
It's hearkening back to the diarrhea thing.
you truly are one of us.
We knew we liked you for a reason.
It's just, it's the we'll call it the light version of the diarrhea. Like, if you don't want full blown emptying, there is a tea called Smooth Move. And I recommend it very highly for a little gentle nudge, if that's what you're in the market for.
And if you do want full emptying, might I recommend a little medication called Linzess that I take?
If you want the full Monty.
Colon blow.
If you want your intestinal system to have a nuclear bomb set off inside it at 7 in the morning, that until roughly 1 p.m. you feel the after effects of.
God.
Linzess.
For those that are like trying to make weight in a wrestling match or something.
Yeah, right? Jesus.
I bet high school wrestlers do buy black market Linzess.
That's terrifying. I bet that's
jeans the fifth of that date.
It ain't great. Anyway, what a joy. Thank you so much for this. I hope it was everything you were hoping. I can't believe you did this and put up with us. It was very fun and funny to have you, and I hope you'll come back sometime.
I hope you'll have me back. And if you guys are ever bored, I encourage you to look up the Department of Transportation study on jug handles.
My prediction is that within 6 weeks, you will be so popular with our fan base that you host the show and I'm a fringe involved character that I'm on less than Nick Fierro is on currently.
Listen, if all it takes is me talking about diarrhea and jug handles, that's like the limit of the effort that I'm able to put in. So.
You and me both. Well, thank you so much. Well done, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Heba.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? This is the voice of super producer and editor Carson Kopp here. The home office of New Jersey is the world. Wrap up the old episode for you. I want to give a huge shout out to super listener Heba for not only contributing an excellent and thoroughly researched show topic, but also for her participation. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. You know what else I enjoyed? I enjoyed the listener meetup and 5th anniversary, the Ghost Hawk Brewing Company yesterday in Clifton, New Jersey. Or I suppose at the time that you're hearing this, 2 yesterdays ago. I'm recording this on Sunday. I believe you guys are hearing this on Monday. Great time. There were literally thousands of people there. And I found through what is commonly referred to as a trial by fire that my PA sounds excellent outside as well as inside. Do you want to find out? Well, guess what? Saturday, May 4th, the hits just keep on coming. We're doing another listener meetup at the Ghost Hawk Brewing Company, May 4th, featuring the mod rocker sounds of Carney, K-Town, Carney's own TV sound. If you don't know, you need to come and find out, because the term power trio barely does it service. Doors are at 6. Music starts at 7, and the brew is flowing till close, baby. Hope to see you there. There is no door fee. There is no cover. There is no admission. There's no RSVP. Just pull up. It's 321 River Road in Clifton, May 4th, Saturday night. Hope to see you there. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you guys are calling the line here and leaving messages on the answering machine of the home office here at New Jersey is the World by dialing 973-780-4660. Anything pertaining to New Jersey, cool shit that you've heard, cool shit that you've done, feedback, reactions to shows for things that you have heard and for things that you have not yet heard. That's the beautiful thing about this place that we live in. It is a fountain. You'd think that we would have run out of shit to talk about by now, but nope. Keep going back to the well, baby. It is an eternal spring, and I hope springs eternal for you on the day that you're hearing this, no matter what day that may be. Oof, almost screwed that one up, but hey, cat-like, he always lands on his feet. I hope you guys are having a lovely day. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will talk to you soon. Tell your friends, tell your family that, which we already know to be true, that New Jersey is the world. Later, everybody.